Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Testing the Experts.
Hello, and welcome to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm Tracy McDaniel, your host for the show. Today, we're bringing you Cynthia Wolf with neurostudies.net, but first, an update from Confirmatrix, and wow, it's been a doozy of a week. So this week, we've been somewhat challenged, to say the least. Being based in Gwinnett, we saw a winter storm that hindered operations on many levels. Our number one goal was to ensure that our employees were safe, but after letting out early on Tuesday and then were closed on Wednesday, we returned to the lab with some unbelievable stories, and we're very close-knit, so the stories went on and on, and we heard, you know, from walking away from our vehicles on roadways to 6-hour commutes home, sleeping in hotels, not in the rooms, but in the hallways. We had one that had an accident because of the ice. Luckily, she's fine. It wasn't a really bad one, so we did get lucky. But we can say that we're back together and we're committed to getting back on track. It's really hard when you are pressed for time. I mean, we get samples in the morning from UPS, FedEx, any of our couriers that bring them locally. And as soon as they get there, we're opening them and we're processing them. So they don't sit and we don't sit. And we don't wait. So it's been difficult to get back on track. I think we still have some specimens from out of town floating around somewhere. You can see where they were brought to Atlanta and then sent back into a holding pattern. So it's been interesting, but we're running 24 hours and we should be back on track on Monday. So that just says a lot for our team. I mean, we are blessed to have the team that we do, because without them, the commitment to our clients wouldn't be there. And we're lucky in that sense. And we're back on track as of Monday. I would say we'll be at 24-hour turnaround time. And so it's hard for us because we're so committed to that. So even an hour slip, and I know we can't control this, but it drives us crazy. So we're working hard, and we are committed to that. But anyways, I digress from the Confirmatrix Laboratory world of fun. But as I mentioned, our guest today is Cynthia Wolf, and she's with neurostudies.net. And I'd like to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Good. I know it's been a crazy week, and you were sharing a little bit about your experience. So yes. Why don't you just share with us a little bit about that?
Well, I live in Cumming, but I work in Decatur, so my commute is pretty bad every day. But went to work Tuesday, and I had texted my supervisor and said, do we need to stay out? You know, I really don't want to get stranded there. And she kind of laughed and said, no, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Right.
Well, I left at 1 o'clock, and it took me 4 hours to go 10 miles on 285.
Okay.
And it was really surreal. I got stranded on Roswell Road, mm-hmm. Parked my car about 9:30, and about midnight I started walking up to, found out that a lady I work with had a home not too far. Mm-hmm. So I walked about a mile and a half to her house and was able to stay there, you know, luckily. A lot of people didn't have that. So.
No sleeping in the hotel hallway?
No. I tried to get a hotel room, and everything was booked up, and they were so far away, and it was so cold, it was icy. I mean, it was just different experience for Georgia.
Wow. I know the people up north they make fun of us, you know, that we weren't prepared and this, but we're not, I mean, this isn't typical
weather.
This is
weather. Not typical. We were not prepared.
No.
And, you know, we didn't have the vehicles, we didn't have the knowledge, the experience. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I know. And I've mentioned before, my husband is a police officer, and he said, oh, we're getting a 4x4 truck after this. I'm like, yes, for one day out of every 3 years that we need it, we're going to have to.
I have an emergency kit in the car now. So
how things change.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're safe.
Thank you.
You got your car back?
My car? Yeah, I did get my car back.
Okay.
It's fine.
And everything was okay after that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So we're back on track.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's supposed to snow next week too. So.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
On Friday.
Thanks.
Be ready.
Okay, so we're off on Friday. So, all right. Well, we'll get back on track, and we'll talk about, you know, why you're here, the business,
okay,
and everything. And so if you'll just tell us a little bit more about the neurostudies.net and what you're doing there.
Okay. Neurostudies.net is a clinical research facility that stemmed from Dr. Nash's practice with DeKalb Neurology Associates. All he does is 90% clinical research. He does a few other things, but most of his practice is just clinical research. We do neurological clinical trials. And what a clinical trial is if you have a company such as Johnson & Johnson or Bayer that develops a new compound, in order for them to be able to give it to people to sell it to them, they have to test it. And so they test it in the lab, and then they test it on animals, and then they test it on humans. And we test it on humans. So okay. We offer it to the public before it's available on the market.
Now, when you say a compound, like a drug?
A drug. Or, we do mostly drugs.
Okay. And so what exactly do you consider clinical research?
Clinical research is giving these patients the new drug to see if it's as effective or better than what's already on the market. That's what we have to prove when we have a trial, that if something is already on the market to treat that disease, we have to prove that what we're giving them is as good or better than what's already out there, or it won't be approved. And most of the trials are what they call placebo-controlled, which means you have a chance of getting an inactive pill. So we don't know if you're getting pill or, treatment or not treatment. So,
if you're trying to prove that something's better, I'm in the marketing world. It's easy to say, yes,
right,
it's better.
Right.
But how do you actually prove that? You can use an example that you might have come across.
Everything in clinical research is everything's the same. We have all of the same labs, all of the same equipment. Everybody has to do the same thing at the same time. It's all very scientifically driven. And it's all, the rules are in this huge book that we call a protocol. And everybody has to follow the protocol. If you don't follow the protocol, you can get in a lot of trouble with the FDA and a lot of fines and things like that. But everything has to be the same all across the board. So we use the same labs. We use the same EKG machines. Everybody does the same thing so that you can say that all of your data is equal. That, somebody didn't do better because they had a different EKG machine that measured them differently. Everybody takes their drug at the same time in the same way. So everything is scientifically driven so that we can say we did everything by the rules, and then we measure the results. The results are sent to companies that will do the statistical analysis and say, okay, we'll present it to the board and say this happened, this didn't happen, and this is why we consider it better.
Okay, and we understand methods and protocols where we're at because we're with over 150 or so drugs that we test for and developing new, especially with the synthetics and the new things that are coming out, it seems like almost daily one little change in one little drug can cause a whole different side effects, a whole different effects period. So I can understand it's not easy.
It's not. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of accountability. Have to be very detail-oriented to do this.
Okay, absolutely. I can only imagine the paperwork trail you have. Because we produce reports.
It is a lot of paperwork.
All right. And then what type of research? I know you've mentioned a few of the drugs, but is there anything you're heavy on one end or, are you specific with
certain
drugs?
We do a lot of Alzheimer's research, a lot of Alzheimer's and memory loss, stroke prevention, migraines, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, diabetic neuropathy. We are about to start a new trial for hyperlipidemia, and we're about to do some stuff with some adult ADHD and weight loss management.
Okay, so you cover a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now your new study that what did you say that
new hyperlipidemia?
Now what is that?
It is when you have high cholesterol or too much fat in your blood. We have a new compound that we're trying to see if it's going to prevent stroke and cardiac events.
Wow, and it seems like just obesity in the country, and
especially
that.
In the South.
Yeah.
Especially in the South.
The fried chicken.
Yeah. Good food. It's our entertainment.
Absolutely. That soul food we can't get away from.
Yeah.
Well, that type of work, it must be very rewarding.
It is. I love what I do. I really enjoy my work, and I'm a nerd. Yeah. I like science. I like neuroscience. I like neuropsychology. And most of the time I'll talk about my job in my home and my friends. And so I'm talking about it all the time. But I do enjoy what I do. I enjoy still treating patients. I'm a nurse, so I still get to do the fun part of the research and, take care of people too.
Okay.
So I enjoy that.
Now let's step back to that. You say you're a nurse.
Yes.
So how did you get into this? Where did you go to school? What made you decide, I want to be a nurse? And then you go into the research side of it, because that takes a special person to want to go into
research.
I would
love to say that I had some great humanitarian reason, but the truth is my father said I couldn't get married till I had something under my belt.
Okay.
Nursing was quick. So I was actually going to be a teacher. And when he said you can't get married until you have something to live on, I looked, and nursing was very quick, and I went to school, and I liked it, so I was good at it, thank God. But That's how I got into nursing. But as soon as I graduated nursing school, I went to work for a family practice physician who did research.
Okay.
And he put me in charge of patients and research. So I've done that ever since I graduated from school.
Oh, wow. So he kind of built you a little
He did. And every job that I've gone to, I've learned a little bit more. So I've been fortunate with that. But it's been an opportunity. And I'm glad that he did that for me.
Okay. Now, you say that Dr. Nash started this program.
Yes.
Is that okay. Now, what is his background and how did he get here?
He is a neurologist, and he had a practice with DeKalb Neurology Associates. And his heart is research, and he got to the point where he wanted to do mostly research. It was at one time he was 100%. He's not 100% anymore. He does a few things with some attorneys and other things, but in order to do that, he needed to pull out of the DeKalb Neurology Associates practice. So he did that, and now he's neuro studies and completely research with, you know, the other few things that he does. But we don't see patients other than for research.
Okay. I know it's hard to just take yourself and implement yourself in one place all the time.
Right. So it was not an easy decision for him to make, but it has been a good decision.
Okay. And, you know, what happens if you come in or I come in for a research visit? I mean, what actually happens for those patients?
You'll come into the office. We'll, you know, schedule a time that's convenient for you. Most of your visits are going, your first visits, your screening visits are going to be an hour or two. They're going to be kind of lengthy. And depending on what study you're on, that's going to depend on what labs and testing we do. But you'll sign what's called a consent form. And the consent form tells you every possible thing that's going to happen to you in the study. All the risk, all the benefits, whether or not you're going to get paid. And the one thing we have to do is make sure that it's in language that people can understand. So if we're talking with people with a fifth grade education, then the consent form has to be in that level of education. We have to give you ample time to ask questions. We have to make sure that you understand that you're not going to be treated differently if you say, no, you don't want to do this. And they're usually like 17, 25 pages long. It's very extensive, but we have to make sure that you're informed about what you're going to do to protect your rights. And once you sign that consent form, then we can do your testing. Then we can do your physical exam, your labs, and whatever's required for that visit.
Okay. So when you come in for that, basically, how have you recruited these patients or have they come to you?
There's a lot of recruitment involved. Advertising, television, newspaper, radio. I do a lot of health fairs. I put flyers up everywhere I can think of, Walmart, CVS, my apartment complex. Anywhere I can find a patient, I'll get them. But they come from everywhere. I mean, word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But most of the time that we try to go get them.
I'm sure through positive experiences that you're having there and just as research continues, people do want to be a part of it.
They do. They do. People, especially for Alzheimer's, they're excited about any type of treatment that can help because mm-hmm. there's really nothing that treats the disease right now. Most of it just treats symptoms. Your Aricept, your Exelon, Amynda are just going to help treat those memory loss symptoms. They don't give you any ground back. So right now we're working on some stuff that can possibly help us, you know, get that memory back and reverse some of the symptoms and causes.
Right. I think a lot of people want to prolong, you know, their lifestyle as long as they can. And
such a hard disease.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you get to that point, I think, where you understand what's happening to you, I guess. And then, you know, you just want to save yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you get that where they just want to, they'll try anything. And
they will.
They
and
help.
Caregivers are the one that are, they're the ones that are hit the hardest with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that it's the hardest on because, I mean, you get to a point in Alzheimer's, you don't know. You don't understand it. And the caregivers are the ones that have to watch it and they lose their loved ones. So that's tough.
Absolutely.
There are some exciting things coming out. So,
well, good. I'm sure it's all going on there.
Yeah.
Good. Well, and I know that, you know, with these patients, I'm assuming they have a long string of doctors that they go to see.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
And so do their doctors know about these research visits? I mean, how do their doctors care for them? And, you know, as you guys are caring for them as well.
We will collaborate with the physicians. There's always a part in the consent form that they have to sign that says, yes, I do want my doctor to know, or no, my doctor, I don't want them to know. If you don't want your physician to know, we don't notify them, of course. But we will not supersede your physician's care for you. Most of the time, the patients do want to tell their doctors because if they have lab results done, we do allow them to take them to the physician. You know, that can save them some money in the long run because we do a full physical exam. Most of the time, we test labs for everything, kidney function, blood count, cholesterol, everything. So they can take that back and show their doctor where they stand with that. But most people do want their physicians to know, and yes, we do send all your testing with you if you want a copy of it.
Okay. And in our world, the drug world, I mean, we get specimens, you know, all the time, and we see a long string of prescribed medications.
Yes.
Sometimes non-prescribed, but normally prescribed medications. And how do you handle that, just because drug-to-drug interaction? And do you have them, you know, do they have to change their prescription drugs that they're on? How does that work?
Most of the time in the protocols that we have, people have to be on a stable drug dose for at least 3 months, and they don't want any changes like within 90 to 120 days. So we do need a list of their medications when they have changed. And if they changed recently, then we'll usually have to wait until that 90 to 120 day period is up. A lot of times people will come in and taking drugs that they're not supposed to be on, and we can't let them be in the protocol. I mean, that's, you know, one of the rules that we have. They'll give us a list of medications that say you can't take this and be in the study because they don't want those interactions. We have had quite a few people come in for the studies, and we do the drug testing on them, and they've been positive for marijuana lately. So that's been interesting.
Yeah, we see that often as well.
Yeah. So the Alzheimer's patients, we're seeing a lot of marijuana usage for that.
I guess there's been studies out that it's helpful for them. So
I mean,
I guess
what
does it take?
Maybe trying to improve quality of life or something. I don't know.
And I know people joke about it, you know, Colorado and the Washington, you know, and it's a funny thing. But really, I think it's just more evidence that these patients, they really want to try something.
They
want to have
They're
hope.
Looking for anything that can help.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. And if that's going to do it for them, then that's what they'll turn to. And,
exactly.
You know, but what they're not realizing is, at least on our end, I mean, the interactions it can have. So
yes. Because it hasn't been studied, because it's not legal. So we don't know, and we don't want to take that risk.
Not yet in Georgia, so I hear.
Not quite yet.
Not yet. Well, so a patient's coming in, and you do a full battery of tests.
Yes.
And they see great doctors, and they have great research. How much is it costing these patients when they come to you?
There's no cost for the studies. Studies are driven by the pharmaceutical companies, and they pay for everything. They're trying to market these drugs. They're going to get the return on these drugs, so no charge for the for any of the visits. And most of the studies will compensate the patients and the caregivers for time and travel.
Okay, so not just the patient, the caregiver even.
And, yes, in the Alzheimer's trials, the caregiver. And just a normal study, you normally don't have to have a caregiver, but Alzheimer's, we do compensate patients and caregivers.
Oh, wow. Now, are your studies just adult-based, or do you see any children?
We don't do any pediatric trials right now. Most all of ours are adult-based.
Adult-based, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure the pediatric could get sticky as it is.
It's a lot of legal, and because you have to have a guardian sign, and it's a lot of stuff with pediatrics we don't want to do right now.
It sounds like you have a lot of paperwork anyways.
A lot of paperwork.
Well, so no cost. So the research is completely funded by the drug companies.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Yeah, most of them will get their returns.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely.
Drugs are expensive.
Yes, they are. Now, with that being said, you know, we've almost in everything, I guess, because we are in the medical field here, they talk about the changes that are going to happen.
Right.
And how do you feel on the research side of it? Is that going to affect you at all?
I don't see it affecting us yet. I don't really feel that they're going to be able to make very many changes in the research arena, because you've got to have new drugs. You've got to have research. You've got to have that scientific testing and looking for new things, or you're going to take steps backwards. So I really don't see it affecting us, especially since we don't charge. And if we did charge, insurances wouldn't pay for research. That's a lot of things that I've run into when I've worked in medical device and surgical. They don't pay for those. So that's when people just started saying, let's just not even charge. The pharmaceutical companies are going to compensate us. So right now, I don't see it affecting research. And it's a good avenue for people who don't have insurance and need some type of treatment. I mean, even if you don't fit the protocol and you come in and you can screen, you can get your screening labs done, and that can help in some way.
Oh, okay. And that was one of my other questions is, do you have referring physicians?
We do. We work with a lot of physicians in town. And for instance, with the hyperlipidemia we're about to do, we'll contact the cardiac doctors, the cardiologist, and tell them, hey, this is the protocol that we're looking for. These are the parameters we need. And a lot of times they'll let us sign a release you know, HIPAA form saying that we can come in and look at the charts and gather patients and things. So they've been very, very helpful and willing to collaborate with us.
That's, I mean, that partnership, you know, yeah. A lot of physicians want to protect their patients. Yeah.
The good thing about that is we are not a medical practice, mm-hmm. so we are not going to take anybody's patients from them.
Right. And you're, you know, as much as we want to find a cure for everything, you know, it's like, I feel like if we can prolong and we can, you know, find some helpful medicines and helpful right. drugs, and then it's the next step and, right. you know, finding the cure for these.
Right. So, and quality of life. I mean, at least improve quality of life.
Right. Well, I did want to ask, so we have people out there and they're listening and they want to come in for the study. They might, or they might know of someone that maybe could come in and be one of your patients. How do they find out more information? How would they be a candidate?
They can, on our website, we have a place that they can go and fill out some questionnaires depending on what they're looking for, whether it's migraine, Alzheimer's, you know, whatever condition it is. And it's neurostudies.net. It's very easy. And they can fill that form out and that will come to me and we'll go through and screen them and call them. Or they can give us a call at 404-475-0552.
Okay. Well, I think that fills it out for me. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Thank you so much for letting me come.
I'm glad you could be here. I know it's been a crazy week.
It's been a very crazy week. Glad to see the back end of this one.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm sure the kids going back to school aren't, though. But, all right. Well, you've been listening to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory. Remember that our show airs live every Friday at 1 o'clock on Business Radio X. If you miss our live broadcast, you can listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7. By visiting testingtheexperts.businessradio.com. I'm Tracy McDaniel, and this has been Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent.